And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
Is it Friday already? It is indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Welcome aboard the John Gambling Show here at 77 WABC with, of course, Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I got to tell you that I got a whole bunch of people this week. I don't know why. Maybe the moon and the stars were aligned, came up to me and said, oh, I listened to you on that great guy, John Gambling.
As long as they added the great guy, John.
They did.
Gambling,
they actually did. I mean, you know, I said, was it his father or grandfather?
Thanks a
you
lot.
Know?
You know what? I need help. I need help from guys like you.
Maybe your sons.
Well, that's nice. In fact, we do happen to know.
Well, I mean, every once in a while, talent skips a generation. It's possible.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, you're in a mood today, aren't you?
Because the rain is finally ending. Now, they predict a little rain this afternoon, but this weekend, the rain is going to go away. It's
got
supposed to be good weather, and we have
Sunday?
A big parade on Sunday. Yeah, going to be a great
Rican
parade.
Day parade.
Puerto Rican Day Parade really is. Yeah, there's a handful of parades that stand out because they're so much bigger. That one, St. Patrick's Day Parade, Columbus Day Parade. Those are the ones I think. Maybe I hope I'm not leaving anything out. Salute to Israel Parade's nice, but a little smaller. I did the
Dominican
Filipino Parade. Dominican Parade's growing, but the Puerto Rican Day Parade is one of the biggest. And you'll see Fifth Avenue lined, many people deep. It's going to be perfect weather for it, and everybody will behave.
You promise? Because there's some folks up on Fifth Avenue who are still boarding up the doors because of 2000.
That is, number one, that is not true. We have contact. I've always thought it was an outrage to, you know, the plywood doesn't send the right message. Number one, it says that we aren't doing our job of protecting property and lives, and so that's the first thing we do. And we will have a lot of police officers, as we do in every time there's a big crowd, cost overtime. But, you know, these things bring enough business to the city, and they're part of the city, so that's what you pay your taxes for. And there really is a big economic benefit. There's only one place on Fifth Avenue, one building, and they're only putting up a little bit of plywood over a... I don't know quite how you describe it. If you sit on a wall, you could fall backwards into a well in front of on the side of the building. I think it's like 828 Fifth Avenue or about 64th Street, if I remember. And last year when we went to each building and said, look, we'll make sure that your property is protected, but it would be right for the city, the right image, to not have the plywood up. And everybody cooperated last year. This building and asked us, should they, we went and looked at it and said, yes, please build something because we don't want somebody to fall in there. They can do the same thing this year. But other than that, I do not expect to see any building up and down Fifth Avenue either put up plywood or have any damage. And, you know, our sanitation department, when this is done, give them a few hours, and, you know, by Sunday evening...
You never know what happens.
It's amazing how quickly...
New Year's Eve is amazing when you have all those people.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next day is
gone. Yeah, I was at a sanitation medal day yesterday, I guess it was. This morning I went to corrections department graduation. Yesterday was a sanitation department medal day. The day before was a fire department medal day. The sanitation department does a great job of, you know, cleaning up after these things.
Speaking of sanitation, the Speaker of the City Council, Christine Quinn, has indicated, I gather from what I read in the paper to you and others, that she's on board with a recycling center over on the Hudson River.
We have to do something about solid waste. This city generates something like 22,000 tons of solid waste every day.
And speaking of things that disappear, it goes away.
Everybody wants it to go away, but that's that. Number one, costs money to make it go away. Number two, you want to minimize the damage to the environment as much as you can. All of those big garbage trucks, they're great, but they weigh a lot. Now, we've been working on getting garbage trucks that pollute a lot less, and we've made a lot of progress in that. But nevertheless, they're heavy and they're on the streets. So what you'd like to do is to find ways to have fewer trucks on the streets, and that means using the water. And so our solid waste management plan has each borough basically having a place where you can – the trucks go up, dump it on barges, the barges go – someplace and get unloaded. It all gets containerized and then goes down Virginia, Pennsylvania, places that take it and charge us a lot of money. This is a very expensive city. Spends $1.5 billion on its sanitation department, a number like that. Just the tipping fee is probably five, where, you know, you pay to take the garbage, where you can tip your truck.
Are New Yorkers recycling the plastics and the papers and all that?
Yeah, I do at home. You know, we have a separate little wastebasket.
But, I mean, generally the population, is it working or not?
In big buildings, it's harder to police. Out on the streets with smaller, you know, one, two-family houses, yes. And some of the big buildings, really, the people care, and they do it. And we will, as part of this new plan, which this is one step, we have a long ways to go, but you'd never think the politics of garbage would be so complex, but they are.
You and I have been talking now for 6 years, and we've been talking about this for this 6 years. I talked to Rudy about it.
Generations, right, I'm sure of that. We do have a good plan here. This is one step, and it includes a focus on recycling, making every borough be responsible for its own. You know, in the Bronx, you can put it directly on trains, for example. You don't have to take it to the water. But if you're in Queens or Brooklyn, you got to somehow or other get it off the Long Island, the island itself. Staten Island, you've got to do something with it there. So although they have a train link, they can put it on. And there's some trains actually in Brooklyn and Queens. But Manhattan's the one that's the most difficult because the rail links don't have any extra capacity for much freight. And this people want to keep building parks, which is a great idea all around, but if you want to have a park, you got to find a ways to build that park with a transfer station as well.
Any movement on the East River, East Side transfer station?
We're working.
You're working on it. Okay, we're speaking of working. I got to do a little work here for the company. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. We continue here on the John Gambling Show at 77 WABC with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Of course, the big news of the last 48 hours has been the dispatching of al-Zarqawi in Iraq. Good news there, obviously. Hopefully that's going to
move
a step. Correct.
I mean, we still have our young men and women over there in fighting and dying. And
they're going to be there a long time.
I hope you're wrong, but you're probably right. I think, you know, the celebration is great, but somehow or other I keep thinking about, you know, we're celebrating and those guys and women are still there being shot at. And when they drive down the street, that, you know, the roadside bomb's still going off. We probably have a long ways to go. But as I said the other day, the world's probably better off with this guy gone. And I think the important thing is that it sends a message not just to the terrorists in Iraq, but to people around the world that we are not going to forget, we are not going to be pushed around and have our freedoms taken away. We, not just America, but I hope all the people in the free world will fight to preserve democracy.
To that point, we are still in the shadow of last weekend's arrests in Canada of 17 alleged terrorists up there. And just yesterday in London, a Queens man, Saeed Hashmi, was arrested in London. He is from Queens. He founded the radical group.
Went to school here.
Yeah, Al-Majuran, I believe it's pronounced. Obviously, the police department of New York City, you as the mayor, watching groups like this? And
we have a full-time New York City police officer assigned to Toronto, where the group was taken down, assigned to London, assigned to Tel Aviv, assigned to a lot of cities around the world where terrorists have been active. It isn't that we can do anything to help them and prevent something going on there, although if we had anything information, we'd certainly share it with them. It is when an event occurs there, whether an event where they're lucky enough and smart enough and to stop it, or they have to respond tragically after it. But we can see, is there anything we can learn? How terrorists are going about it? Is there something that something new, the different ways that they might want to attack? And are those targets similar kind of targets here? How well did the security and first responders respond over there? Is there anything we learned? You know, they couldn't get through at rush hour. Okay, let's think about that. You know, it's important for us to have that. And incidentally, also, we do get a lot of help through Washington, through the CIA and the FBI. But this is sort of not just gathering information. It's looking at best practices and seeing whether there are any lessons that can be learned so that we can constantly improve our plans to prevent and to respond.
Does the New York City Police Department work with the FBI and the CIA in this sort of work?
Yes. I mean, yeah, people always talk about rivalries, but I got to say, and I think Ray would say that, and Kelly would say the same thing, these guys on balance are patriots, they are dedicated public servants, and yes, they do share information. It is sometimes takes longer because it's got to go through another organization than if we had our own there, but you know, the state is another one of those levels of government. You know, Pataki's people have been helpful. A lot of times we don't ask for it, but if we do, it's there. I think the other thing you got to remember is New York City is so big and so different that a lot of federal programs are designed for the rest of the country, but New York, it doesn't quite fit. That's not true just in security and intelligence. It's true in education and a lot of other things. Same thing is true for the state. A lot of the state programs are designed to help small counties that don't have their own counterterrorism people. I mean, you know, other cities can have 4 or 5 people devoted to counterterrorism and intelligence. We have 1,000. We have a police force bigger than probably the next 4 police departments in the country put together. So, you know, it is very different.
Last week at this time, you had, in the previous evening, talked to Michael Chertoff about the
yep.
money and the reduction in that amount.
Yeah, and then I said I was going to talk to him on Monday.
Yeah,
did
you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And was he any more receptive to review, possibly, or not?
I think he made an attempt. He number one, he tried to explain to me what happened and why it happened and his views on it. I said a lot of mine I didn't agree with, but he did that. He did. I don't think once any agency like that makes a decision, you're going to get them to change. They could never function because they get rolled every time, and they are. You know, you do want to have people make decisions and stick to those decisions. We don't like the decision sometimes, but maybe worse would be the chaos if nobody was ever able to make a decision and say no and yes and set priorities. Governing is about setting priorities, and everybody says right, 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 as long as they're their priorities, of course. But he did say what was helpful, that he would assign one of his top lieutenants to work with our Office of Management and Budget to help us through the process of getting the monies as quickly as possible. When they award you monies, they don't just send you a check. There's a whole set of procedures after that for every single little thing. You have to document and tell them what you're going to do with it and that sort of thing. And Chertoff, true to his word, did have his guy call, I think, Tuesday morning. And last I checked in, which was, I think, yesterday, they were in the process of. So I'm optimistic we'll get the amount of money that we were given faster, but I'm not optimistic that we'll get more. Having said that, there's lots of other programs from the federal government, not just Homeland Security, and there's next year. And so, you know, I've got to work with them and say, look, what can we do so that next year we will get more? And calling them names, probably not the right thing to do.
On reflection, have you seen that this 40% reduction in, you said last week, and immediately in reaction, I will do and we will do in New York anything that's necessary to protect us. Will this create a budgetary problem in any field?
Well, number one, we are going to do everything that we think is right, period, and then I'll have to worry about it. I'd change hats and say, okay, how are we going to pay for this? Look, $80 million is what it was,
the reduction.
$80 million is the equivalent of 800 cops, 800 teachers, 800 firefighters. So it's a lot of money. On the other hand, we have a budget of $55, $56 billion. And what I'll have to do is move monies, take a little bit away from everything else to cover the cost of this. But we're going to spend this money regardless. One of the big problems we have
is. So you had budgeted the 200 some odd million dollars that was requested.
No. No. We have, if you look at our budget, we budget what we think we have a very good, we're reasonably sure we'll get. Keep in mind, budgets are always guesses. We budget income for next year. I don't know what the tax revenue will be any more than you do. But we use outside experts who make forecasts because I don't want our people to see what our requirements are and then say, oh, yeah, we'll get that kind of revenue. And that's not a waste. That some government entities do that, and that's not a waste. That's not intelligent. You wouldn't do that with your own resources. If I'm not sure, we don't put it in, or we put in only a portion of it. We assume we'll get some monies. What Chertoff said, the numbers he's right on, I don't happen to agree with the concept. He said, look, in the 3 years before this, 1 year you really got screwed, is a, not the polite word, but, and he, so we tried to make that up for that this year. So if you look, the average of the three previous years, I think, was $132 million per year. This year we're getting slightly less, but it's down only a small amount. And his pie was cut by Congress. So you can blame Congress for all of this, too, incidentally, not just Chertoff. Let's blame everyone.
You haven't heard them say that.
They haven't, yeah, I know. But the answer is, instead of the $800-odd million, is $700-odd million in the pile. And he said, by that standard, you went down the same amount. Now, I still think that, you know, New York and Washington, a couple of the cities arguably are much more vulnerable. He does make the good point that small cities do have small needs and they should get a little bit of money, and you know, you can't give it all to the big ones. But that's not my problem. My problem is to do what's right for New York City, fight for New York City, and the part that I can control is what we spend. And I'm going to have to pay for it by moving just the tiniest bit from every other place. There's only a certain amount of money. And everybody says, so we testified before the city council the other day, at the moment the model we use says we're going to have another $170-odd million in this year in tax revenues than what we thought. But these are models. And until the check clears, you don't know whether you really have the money. And you have to be a little bit conservative because, God forbid, it doesn't happen. One of the problems in government is everybody says, oh, look, let's spend more because we have it right now. As a matter of fact, let's spend even more than that because I know it's going to grow. I just know it. How do you know? I know it. And I say, well, what happens if things turn down? We'll worry about that then, which really means I'm not going to be running for re-election, or I'm not going to be the...
I won't be here.
I won't be here. Yeah, so, you know,
somebody else will.
No, you could not run your family finances the ways
be out of business.
Right, the ways a lot of governments run. I hope New York City's not one of those governments. That's what I fight every day. No private company could run that way. We've got to realize that the revenues are variable and our expenses are fixed. Once we sign a labor contract, we have to pay those men and women every single pay period. And if the economy or housing prices or number of real estate transactions goes up or down, our revenues go up or down, so you can't have spending at a level where when it goes down, you got to cut back. That's the trouble we got into before. That's what happened in the 70s. We cut back on, you know, policing the streets and putting out fires and picking up the trash, and we went into a spiral down that took decades to recover. The good news is that the independent rating agency, S&P, just about 2 weeks ago raised our rating to AA-, which is the highest it's ever been in the history since they've been rating, as was the previous rating. Got a plan for the future.
Hear, hear. That's good. Very good news. Speaking of news, we'll take our half-hour break. George Weber at 77 WABC. Then we are back with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. When did you have your get-together up at Gracie Mansion with the mayors over gun policy, gun law?
A month and a half, something like that.
6 weeks ago?
You know, we started out with 15 mayors, and we said we'd hope to have 50 by the end of the year, and 6 weeks later, we blew right through the 50 limit. And I'm happy to say that the mayor of Houston, Bill White, is one of those mayors who recognizes that guns in all big cities are big problems and illegal guns, and he's going to be helpful and has signed up. And I'm going to actually meet him right after this program, heading up to the Bronx. He's here really to see what we're doing on affordable housing. We've got a guy, Sean Donovan, who is really the genius behind our what we call a new housing marketplace, which is this plan to build or rehab 165,000 units of affordable housing. Put that in perspective, 165,000 units will house 500,000 people. City of Pittsburgh is 325.
A lot of folk.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know where in the list of cities probably makes this seventh, eighth biggest city. For affordable housing, and a lot of that helps neighborhoods so that there's market-rate housing built alongside and as part of that. Anyways, Bill's here to take a look around and see what's doing.
What's affordable housing? I mean, how is it defined?
It is, well, like everything else in government, nothing's easy. There's lots of different housing plans, but you take a look at the family income for the region. Now, you can argue it should be just the city or just the borough or just the neighborhood, but the ways they do it is it's the average family income for the region. And then some programs you qualify if your family income is 25% or less. Some programs you qualify if your family income is 200% or less. So it's all over the lot. It has moved more. The problem is you don't want people who are hardworking people who make the city go, who've been here all the time, to be priced out of the market. And those that really need the help but are they're not starving to death. You know, a lot of them are two municipal workers. We need them. They're doing a great job. Average family income, you add it together, sounds like a lot of money. In this day and age, it isn't. And so trying to help them, make sure they stay here. That's the future of our
city.
Run
by the city, this housing?
No, typically it's private, but you help get money, and the zoning is what gets people to build it. The city cannot be a landlord. We're not good at that. You don't want the city to be a landlord. You want private developers to do it. And so you have to make it attractive for private developers to come in and build. Now, what's happening in the city is this decade, we are going to add to our population roughly 325,000 people. That is the size of Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's becoming more and more an attractive place to live. People want to live here. People used to move out because the schools weren't good and they couldn't afford private schools. As the schools get better, they don't move out. That puts pressure on the housing supply. People used to be afraid to come here because they said, oh, it's dirty, it's violent, and that sort of thing. Today they come here and they say, wow, the streets are clean, it's safe, it's fun, it's even affordable. People want to come here. Some people get priced out, no argument about that. But our problem with housing is that we have an awful lot more people who want to live here, either coming here or want to stay here, than the housing supply can hold. So we're doing that. And actually tonight I'm going to be out in Chicago, talk to Richie Daley. That Chicago's a city. They've done pretty well. Daley's been a very good mayor. And, you know, they have similar problems. It's smaller, but Chicago's a pretty big city still.
All right. A couple of other things that haven't gone the way of City Hall this week. Another judge or set of judges ruled against the graffiti tool ban. And cell phones in schools. City Council's trying to get something passed to keep the confiscation out, as well as the courts.
Well, the City Council can pass a rule saying that...
Courts also ruled against it, though, didn't they?
No. So we have a right to keep cell phones out of schools, and we will continue to do that. The City Council, what I read in the paper was they want to pass... Some City Councilmen want to pass a law saying that kids have a right to have cell phones outside of school. I don't have a problem with that. But I can tell you that they can't bring them into the school, and we don't have the facilities, the people, or the physical storage facility to let them store it. Now, you can say, well, how can they have them outside if they can't store them? I can't help you. The schools are for learning. Kids with cell phones and iPods and those kinds of things in the classroom, they get distracted from learning. They distract other kids from learning. And that's what we're going to focus on.
All right. How about the spray cans?
We're going to appeal. I mean, you know, we think that it's constitutional. Hopefully an appeals court will believe it. Graffiti is one of those things that reduces the quality of life. And you start going down the route of allowing graffiti or not being able, even if you don't allow it, not being able to stop it. It's one thing leads to another. It is a lot cheaper to keep graffiti from being created than to clean up afterwards. Cleaning up is a very expensive thing.
There was an interesting article by a friend of mine who I talk to on a regular basis here, E.J. McMahon from the Manhattan Institute, on New York's pension peril, the ever-growing liability that the city has for city workers.
It's actually two things. One are pensions, the other are medical benefits, and both are growing. Both are very big problems. Next year...
Are they going to overwhelm?
I don't know. Next year we're going to have another $1.5 billion in pension and medical costs without any more revenues. That's just 1 year.
That's a problem.
Going up, you betcha it's a problem. The difference is pensions, we expense them every year. We put away enough money to pay and invest it in stocks and bonds and other things so that when the employee retires, we've got the money to give back to them. Medical benefits, which employees are going to get later down the road, we don't expense. There we pay out of current income tax revenues in the year that the expenses are incurred. This year, for the first time, we're putting away $2 billion towards that liability. But the city has roughly, estimates are $50, $60 billion of expenses that we know we're going to have. We have a legal obligation to provide it. And we don't have the money today. We're going to have to come up with the money down the road. Our pension benefits, we have the money invested today for whatever we have down the road.
Whatever you've got down the road, with the escalation.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, depends on if the stock market and bond markets don't give us good returns, we're going to have to put in more money. If the returns are better than the, I think it's 8% assumption that they think we'll earn, then we put in less. But the pension... The people that have those pensions know that they are going to get the benefits promised.
Is that $1 billion-plus addition for next year, is that an annual?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Growth rate? Well, how does the city ultimately survive?
Ah, very good question. As soon as you get an answer to that, would you please give me a call? Because people say, what do you lie awake at night? You know, that's one of the things.
I mean, the math just doesn't work, and it doesn't work around a very short time line.
What we really should do in this city is create a new pension tier, and there's four already. Four times in the past, the city has said new employees will come in, when they join with a different deal. Old employees will be protected. Whatever the deal was when they were there, we'll live up to that deal. But new employees, we don't have a deal with, and they don't have to come to work for us. So let's create another one. We've done it four times. We should do it a fifth time. But even if we do, that saves you money 25 years from now. That doesn't save you money right now because all of our current employees get these pension benefits. And what really hurts is it is Albany that votes pension benefits. It is the city taxpayers who pay for it. We have no say in this whatsoever. We had a tea party in Boston many years ago over exactly this kind of thing. You say something to Albany and they roll their eyes. Yeah, but the politics are, I want to give another benefit. These presumption bills where for the rest of your life it's assumed that if anything bad happens to you, it was caused by something that took place when you were a city employee. Those things are phenomenally expensive. Some people want to give pensions to spouses when the pensioner dies, which they don't do typically in the private sector. It's a nice idea, but the taxpayers want it.
The two cops that are going to jail for life get to keep their pension.
It is virtually impossible to take away somebody's pension. It's because the way the law is written, it is a legal obligation of the city, and in the contract that we sign or that the state legislature passes, there is no opt-out provision to say under certain circumstances you get it taken away. There's probably one or two, but fundamentally,
does all of
no.
this need to be changed? I mean, is this something that is actively
we have to work with the unions to find a ways, except that, you know, I think that most of the unions will say, well, I'm not going to go take to my members. But if a demand to reduce. But it is fascinating. If you take a look, General Motors for...
I was just going to say, in the private sector.
Those are pensions in the airlines, gonzo. And I saw an article in, I think it was El Diario yesterday, they had an editorial about labor costs for public employees in the state of New Jersey, where a lot of people are arguing that they should reduce salaries. Now, you know, I negotiate with the unions, and I'm trying to find ways to pay our employees more, but through productivity. They say, we want more money, but no productivity. Take a look at New Jersey. They're going in the other direction.
They certainly are. That's a crazy situation.
But having said that, John, I do think we have enough good union leaders in the city. We will work together, at least I hope we will, to find ways. EJ's article is correct. Those numbers, those liabilities, they're very easy to predict. We know that we're going to have them. Remember before we talked about our tax revenues. That we don't know whether we're going to get. You know, you just the stock market falling out of bed over the and giving back. The stock market this year has, in the last 3 weeks, has given back everything that
in six months.
Sure, that means that smaller pensions or smaller bonuses, less money spent in stores and restaurants and for all the things, means less tax revenues, less money for us to pay. And every time somebody passes a bill, certainly going forward, because we're not going to have this money. I know we got lucky this year, but nobody thinks we're going to have that continuing. Every time a bill is passed that's going to cost something, I'm going to start saying, okay, that's passed. If we have to pay for it, we'll pay for it. But this is what I've got to cut back in order to do it. It's the public's money.
Speaking of the public, phone lines connect you to Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Coming up next, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-WABC. We will be right back. Continue here, and it's your turn, 1-800-848-WABC, to talk with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We're going to start with Chris in the car. Chris, you got the mayor. Go.
Good morning. Mr. Mayor, I was wondering if you have entertained the idea of lifting the tolls at the bridges and tunnels on certain holidays to help alleviate traffic.
It's really up to the it's the Port Authority and the Triborough Bridge Tunnel Authority. They toll these roads. I'm sure they would not. They need the revenues. You know, somebody's got to pay for repairs and building new bridges and tunnels and that sort of thing. So,
and the tolls also, are, as I understand it, are used to back some of the bonds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Legally, you'd have a big problem in doing that. But I think that the chances of that, Chris, sorry, are you have to talk to the state to these agencies. But my guess is the chances are somewhere between zero and none.
Chris is in the car. My guess is that the crowd around him listening will be thrilled about that. Thank you, Chris. Frank in Glendale, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
I want to commend you. You've been doing a great job for the last few years. And our organization here in Glendale, the Glendale Civilian Observation Patrol, has been trying to battle this graffiti problem for 30 years. I know that the city's doing a great job, but one thing that maybe your office can – I think you're the mayor who can wipe out graffiti in the city of New York by maybe taking five graffiti vandals. They've been identified, five in each borough, and – having civil class action lawsuits brought against their families.
I suspect that we got to go, Frank. It's a great idea. I think it's probably not legally possible because the families aren't responsible for what the graffiti artists do.
You can throw the artist in jail.
You can throw if they break the law, but suing them, probably these people don't have a lot of money. Let's go on. It's okay. A great idea, though.
Steve in Brooklyn, you've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Hi. Yeah, how you doing, Mayor?
Good.
Right to the question, Steve.
Quick question. I was just wondering why we have a 5-cent deposit refund for bottles if recycling is mandatory.
It's mandatory, but it turns out that people don't obey the law. The 5 cents does seem to get a lot of people to bring their bottles and cans back, although some people throw them out and then others go through the garbage and pick them out. And, you know, there's nothing easy in life. There have been moves to apply the 5 cents to other kinds of bottles and cans to help get people to recycle. The issue is if you pay your 5 cents and don't bring it back, who gets to keep the nickel? That's controversial.
As I understand it, water bottles, plastic water bottles,
That's correct. And there's probably, how many.
There's politics involved.
But there's an enormous number of plastic water bottles out there.
Any problem.
I don't know if it's more than, you know, Coke and Pepsi and other things. But yeah, sure. And then all these other kinds of non-carbonated soft drinks, Snapple and those kinds of things. A lot of people would think that we should apply it to everything. Let's go to Benny in Brooklyn.
Benny, you're with the mayor. Go.
Mr. Mayor, we need you to step up and take the leadership on that you did in settling the United Federation of Teachers contract. It went nowhere for 2.5 years. The principal's now without a contract for 3 years. We need you to step in personally and get this resolved in the interest of the children and education.
Benny, I couldn't agree with you more that we need a contract with our principals. You got to go talk to the head of the principals union, who seems bent on going to arbitration and has not been able to sit at a table. I don't think she's ever shown up. Maybe wrong once, maybe she's come, but you got to sit down and talk with our labor commissioner. We've been trying. It's the only major union we don't have a contract with, and for the life of me, I can't understand why it's We've tried as hard as we can. The realities are what they are. I think part of the problem with that union is the principals are one group in the union and the assistant principals are another group, and they may very well have some internal problems in the union. And I don't know what possesses the union leader in this case.
New York Times had a nice editorial about you today.
My mother's going to love it when she sees it. Yeah, even I was surprised. It was great. I'm sure everybody reads the Times.
Have a great weekend, a good week. We'll talk with you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here at 77 WABC. We've got some good conversation straight ahead. Chris Wallace, part of it. Hope you will be too. Stick around.